You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show.
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. We are here to talk about episode 15 and 16, Return and the World of Fairies, as you have so been waiting for.
Is it too early to start crying?
Oh, no, I think
it's
we've done enough
early
of
to
that.
Start crying.
Joining me on the panel today is Katie Cullen.
Hi.
We're all emotionally distraught. Tari Miller.
Japanese phrase.
Tari can't even muster up the usual Japanese phrase.
Oh, that's
so
sad.
That's how you know we're in a bad way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Liz Rishmawi can't join us today. She's not feeling well. But we do have a wonderful, wonderful guest with us, Mr. Kirk Thornton, a.k.a. the voice of Klein.
Hey.
Yay.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for taking the time to come down.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited, nervous, terrified, all those things. There's a camera on me. I'm not used to that.
That's okay. We are excited and nervous to talk about this next episode as well.
Yeah, I can't wait for Katie. She has been building me up.
Oh, I get the feeling that they're going to cut my mic if I go off the way I want to.
Okay, guys, we have been emotionally compromised by this episode, but yeah. We are professionals.
Are we?
We are mostly professional.
Professional-ish.
I'm professional. I can't vouch for other people on this panel. But
I think I'm the only non-professional here.
We try to be professionals. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and limit the amount of time we talk about episode 15 because it hurt our souls so badly. So I'm going to go ahead and put a time cap on. We're only going to talk about this episode for 10 minutes. Does that sound good? Do we all think we can get our feels out in the allotted time?
I say we knock out all of the relevant plot points first and use the rest of the time screaming.
Okay.
No,
not screaming.
I didn't see what was so bad, so I can't wait to hear what is so horrible about it. But.
Okay, let's go ahead and get started.
And 3 minute mark. Go.
And 3 minute mark. Go. We go ahead and open up. Episode 15, Return, opens up with Kirito having this dream about being in Sword Art Online, and the world just kind of collapses in on itself, and he wakes up, and because he's clearly been traumatized by the experience, and he's been traumatized by losing Asuna because she's still in a coma from the last. Because we left off the last episode with Kirito walking into the fluorescent sunset on his way to go find her. On his way to go find her. But she never woke up. She's still in a coma. And so we get introduced to his little sister, Sugu, and we also get introduced to a couple other plot elements. We get introduced to a character named Nobuyuki Sugo, who is the biggest
jerk.
Yes.
That's creepy.
Creepiest, creepy. Unsettling character that I've seen
to
in a long time.
Visit Asuna at the hospital, and her dad's there, and this guy's there, and, oh, hey, you know, we're still working on it, and, oh, let me introduce you to Sugo. Sugo's a really big fan of yours, and he's been working the R&D with our company to keep these VR helmets online. Yada,
yes,
yada, yada.
We find out that, a little bit of exposition here, that Argus, the company that was running Sword Art Online, that due to all the lawsuits, I totally called it, due to all the lawsuits, they completely folded under, and that control of the SAO servers went actually coincidentally to Asuna's father's company, which is a company called RCT Progress, and the Sugo character happens to be the head of R&D there. And not only that, but apparently Their parents think it would be great for this jerk and Asuna to get married, despite the fact that she's in a coma.
Well, you want to marry slime.
So there's the ceremony.
And
in
he's so 6 subtle
days.
About it.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, subtlety. Subtlety is definitely the word I would use to describe this guy.
Yeah, you leave the scene going, I think he may like her.
Well, and it's. Okay, and we're going to have the ceremony in 6 days, right? Sure. Asuna's dad leaves. Creeper mode activates.
Yeah.
Incredible just how skin-crawlingly awful this guy is.
I mean, and a wonderful job by the actor. Yeah, we mean absolutely no disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
The
acting he knocked fantastic. It out. He was great.
The acting is beautiful. The characters awful.
And this is what we were talking about last week. Last week we have we had Kevin M. Connolly on, who did the voice of Heathcliff. Mm-hmm. And we miss Heathcliff and Kayaba Akihiko so much, because there was so much to that character. There was subtlety, there was mystery, there was ambiguity, there was all sorts of other things. He wasn't a good person, but he wasn't 100% evil either. He wasn't mustache-twirling, snidely whiplash, and or I'm trying to think of other examples of just what kind of character this is.
Just
creeper is the word that just keeps flashing in bold red letters
Stalker
in my mind.
McCreepy.
Stalker McCreepy. That works.
And he just... Well, we're going to get married. She hates me, but our parents don't know that,
and
so it's okay.
He's poking her in the face.
I love that. I was just watching something else where they're doing that thing. Oh, it was a Sherlock episode.
Yeah.
And he's poking the guy's face. I'm like, it's right from Sherlock! Except which came first? I'm sure Sorry came
did.
First. But what a wonderful, horrible thing to do.
Oh, and he picks up her hair and just
snips it.
Disgusting. I hate this guy.
I need to take a shower. We're 5 minutes in this episode and I just need to wash this off.
It gave me flashbacks to that scene in Kill Bill where the main character's in the coma and you're like, shit's happening. Stuff is happening.
And we are explicit on iTunes. There we go.
We were trying so hard to keep our language.
I'm glad you were the first, not me, because I thought it would be me first.
That's okay. We try here. We tried our best, everyone. We tried our best. And no one can ask anything else.
We've used up 5 of our minutes. Let's continue.
All right. Yes, we've used up about 5 minutes. We've got a couple left. Now to talk about the other creepy, unsettling aspect of this series. Let's talk about Sugu, everybody.
Not to be confused with Sugo.
Yeah.
Because you want the creepy
Kirito's little sister. And what really gets me is I had such hope after the first couple minutes of this episode, because the scene where they show Kirito in the hospital and she's crying over his bedside and there's absolutely no dialogue and you don't even hear her crying. It's just the music and the sound of her training. I was very emotionally affected by that on a personal level, because something similar happened. I'm not going to go into it, but something similar happened to a family member. And so after the first couple of minutes of this episode, I'm in tears going, oh my gosh, this is so good. And then it's immediately undercut by incest. Why would they go this route?
Because it turns out that Sugu has a massive crush on Kirito, and we're going to define her by that. We're not going to define her by the fact that she's spunky, good personality, kendo champion. No. She is a female character defined by a relationship that she wishes to have with our shonen protagonist.
Who happens to be her cousin.
I haven't cut my mic yet. All right.
Who happens to be her cousin, but they were raised as brother and sister.
So we're just going to let
her. Well, there's that caveat. She's a cousin.
I'm not watching Game of Thrones. If I wanted a Lannister relationship, I'd turn Game of Thrones on.
To Alabama, Tokyo.
Well, thank you for making it a little bit better.
We took shots at Kansas in Attack on Titan. I guess we're just hanging out in the flyover state today.
But for me, it was just really odd because this was such a switch from basically everything that the series has been, we take this hard left turn into a series where I don't know what's happening anymore.
It's a bad Yuwatase anime. The woman you love, you have to go find her. But here's the evil, evil man keeping her captive. And the romantic rival who has issues. It's Mushigi Yugi. Except the latter half where everything goes to hell. That's what it is. And everyone in the YouTube comments is just like, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. You want to share your popcorn? Let's get some popcorn. Really?
You all are a bunch of sadists. Shame on all of you. Anyway, sorry, do you want to weigh in on this?
What can I say? I mean, well, the dub did a good job of downplaying it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because like in the subtitle, they make it very explicit. You guys are super related. But in the dub, like they kind of go, especially in that scene with the mom where she's talking about Kirito discovering that she's not his parent. And so she kind of goes, oh, his inquiry took me by surprise so much that I kind of just threw out that, you know, that he was my big brother and sister's kid. So it kind of leaves it more ambiguous to be like, maybe she just said that to appease him, but then, like, he could be someone she just found in the garbage or something.
Little Shonen Moses.
Right.
I would have liked it. It would be so much better if he was adopted. It would still be odd, but it would be so much better if he was, like, straight up adopted from far, far away.
Right. I wasn't so sure about all the giggly stuff between mother and why they were giggling so much for that conversation.
It's his birthday, and you guys are laughing about him discovering the truth of his parentage?
Yeah.
It's kind of an odd thing to be, like, tee-hee-hee about.
You just kind of laugh through the trauma.
Yeah,
I guess. Kinda.
Because you can't drink heavily in a hospital.
I guess that's the case. But
not always.
But because of that...
Well, usually if you drink heavily, you wind up in the hospital. So.
But that does raise a question as to whether or not he actually is her cousin. Like, is that... Because that's what they told him.
Yeah. Right.
But is it actually something else? Is that something that we find out? Well, you don't have to tell us whether or not it's true, but is that something that we find out about later in the series? Do we find out more about his parents, whoever they may be?
He's Kyoto. No. JKL. Spoilers.
Kyoto Akihiko is old enough to have a 17-year-old kid at this point.
I don't know. Anime people look really young.
They do. Oh, yeah.
They're moisturized.
They really do. But actually, I would love that that had been
great.
The twist the whole time is that he's Kayaba Akihiko's son. That would be so much better.
So
no, I am your father.
We were talking about Darth Vader parallels last week.
Close
that would
enough.
Be
true.
That
Close
would have
enough.
Been great. That would have been great, Reki Kawahara. That would
so
have been great.
So many things would have been great that didn't include literally putting Asuna in a cage.
We're running out of time in our 10 minutes. Does anyone have anything else to weigh in on this episode before we can move on and forget it ever happened?
Why? No. Okay, I'm good.
Sorry, Kirk?
No, I got nothing. Klein wasn't in it, so yeah.
Exactly. Who cares?
Seriously.
Well, what I like is that Klein seems to be smart enough not to go back into a virtual reality. He's like one of the only characters who doesn't come back and be like, hey, let's do the thing. He's like, nope. I'm going to go have a pizza.
That's right.
And hang
he's
out
got
with
a life.
Friends.
He's got a pizza waiting. You know.
He's going to go try and pick up a girl. Yeah. I'd survive, sort of.
Good for him.
You want to see my swordsmanship?
I booed that earlier. I will boo it again. Boo!
It's wonderful and you know it.
Boo!
We have a pun quotient on this show. I have to fill it.
No, we don't. That's not a thing we do.
I have a self-imposed pun quotient
okay,
and I have
to fill
it.
There we go. That sounds about right. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get into episode 16 then, because... Again, we can move on.
Yes. Talk about this.
Our viewers are happy. Our viewers are happy. We're happy. It's
are
done.
You not entertained?
Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into episode 16. Oh, I guess the important thing to mention is that at the end of episode 15, he gets a message from Agiel with a screen cap of what looks like Asuna. Mm-hmm. It's a very blurry, very pixely picture. So this episode opens up, the world of fairies opens up, with Kirito going to the Dicey Cafe, which is a really cute name for a restaurant.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that Agiel is a gamer. And so he goes to the restaurant, and Agiel explains to him a little bit about this new game called Alfheim Online, which is another VR MMO, which, why, God, why?
Because they're still dumb enough to play. This game was probably going on while the issues with Sword Art were still happening.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know.
Because
the new headset has better security.
Yeah.
And fewer microwaves.
And for anybody who actually bothered to do their research, this is literally Sword Art Online with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
So why would anybody do that? You know, again, the better security for the hardware is, I guess, the main selling point, I guess. But it doesn't make a lot of sense. But hey, if it makes money, why not? I don't know why anyone would buy it, but that's just me.
Because Asuna's in there.
Yes, that's why one person would buy it.
That's right.
We're trying to apply logic to Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is Nobody Learned from Dot Hack, the series, the sequel.
That's very true. So anyway, he's explaining a little bit about Alfheim Online, which is basically, as I said, it's Sword Art Online with a new coat of paint, only it's fairy-based, and there happens to be this flight simulator, which is what people are going nuts for, is that if you can get the hang of it, you feel like you're flying, which is kind of cool, okay, but why not just go through a flight simulator? There's absolutely no chance of you getting stuck there.
Well, if it's a fully immersive flight simulator, I'll stop.
Anyway. But and so
yeah, and what do the wings feel like? You know, there's that whole element to it. You know?
And it kind of once he actually gets in the game, it kind of looks a little like a Wiimote, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like a nunchuck. Yeah.
So it actually does look like a little bit of fun.
See,
I wouldn't go in there.
There is a reason for the Wii to exist.
Yeah. Not just Hyrule Warriors. I want to play.
Oh,
anyway.
Hyrule Warriors is going to be great.
Anyway. We also try to get at least one Legend of Zelda reference thrown in.
Yes. Every,
that's what we have a quotient for. Anyway,
is
so
it?
So yeah. He's explaining that this picture of what looks like Asuna was taken within the game of Alfheim Online. And that there is basically, he shows him a map of the world, which is on the back of the case, and that at the very center of the world is something called the World Tree. And through through teamwork, a group of players was able to get up high enough, because most of them can't. It's too high for people to just fly up, because there's a time limit on the amount of time you can fly. And so you working together, they managed to launch one person up high enough to take the screen cap, and then, you know, before they fell back down.
Right. You've seen the end of Advent Children. They do that.
Yeah, basically.
Basically. And so when you actually look at the picture, there's a bird cage, and inside the bird cage is what looks like Asuna. And so.
So this isn't creepy at all.
So basically. Since it's the same company, RCT Progress, it's Kirito thinks that it's worth a look to go and see if maybe that's where Asuna actually is. And Agil's like, good luck with that, buddy. best of luck. I'm staying here to run my establishment, run my business.
I own a restaurant, and I can't afford to lose the lease for another 2 years, so I'm going to stick around.
I'm moving on with my life. Anyway.
But he does tell Kirito that he can use the same headgear. He doesn't have to go out and buy the new stuff.
Right. Yeah, that which makes it sound exactly like Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
Because it
yeah.
is. It's yeah. Sword Art Online with pretty
with
fairies.
Wings. Yeah.
But it actually is a little bit of a plot point that we have Kirito able to use his same nerve gear mm-hmm. because all of his everything from Sword Art Online is still saved to it. So that'll come up in just a minute. And so basically he decides he's looking at it for he comes home and we get a little moment with Sugu again, who again she's cute and quirky and spunky, but
and has
oh
the hots for
gosh.
Her brother.
Ugh, yeah,
cousin.
Yeah. Cousin, yeah, great, awesome.
Just wait, they'll
awesome.
Take over King's Landing.
Oh gosh, but we do see that, you know, even without intending to, she did help him, you know, get.
The courage,
yeah,
up to go
I guess
after
the courage to. He's like, I don't have to give up because he basically had given up when Nobuyuki Sugo was like, "Muhahaha, we're getting married because I'm evil." You know, Kirito had basically given up hope, and his sister had comfort in him. And
she goes beyond her love for him and inspires him.
Yeah.
His heart belongs to her.
Ugh. Anyway, so he's gotten the courage to go back into the game world. And so basically, I don't know why you would, but anyway,
for true love, mom running in and be like, "No, this is not happening."
No,
hospital bills.
What is wrong with you?
I can't imagine like what their insurance premiums would be like after this whole incident.
Because right.
I'd imagine after the lawsuits, the company had to pay for all the hospital stays. Well, I imagine that was part of it.
Could the company even afford that? Like, because like how much would each person get after a class action lawsuit that big?
Well, healthcare in America is screwed, but I think in Japan it might be a little easier to afford.
I know nothing about the Japanese healthcare system. I'm going to go ahead and own up to that right now. But anyway, so after kind of a few minutes of kind of hesitating, he decides, okay, you know, it's time to go back into the, I can't believe I'm doing this again, but I'm going to do it again. And so he goes into the system, picks his race of elf, and basically...
Spriggan.
Yeah, he picks the Spriggan. So he's supposed to land in Spriggan territory. He goes into the game, and it starts off like a free fall, like it's Kingdom Hearts.
It looks like Kingdom Hearts.
And, but then all of a sudden, there's kind of what looks to be a glitch, and he falls into a black hole instead and ends up in neutral territory instead of going straight to the Spriggan world. So that kind of is an immediate red flag for anybody watching. It's kind of like... Well, clearly somebody's out there is messing with things.
Mm-hmm. Shoot, he's stuck in the game again.
And that's actually one of his main concerns, too, is one of the first thing he does when he gets back up is to check the menu, which this was a fun scene, too, because he's trying to pull up the menu like you do in Sword Art Online, and then he tries it with the other hand, and that's what works. But it's just funny to see him, like, waving his arm in the air trying to get it to work, and it's... Anytime he does any of the things he's so accustomed to in Sword Art Online, it makes me feel really bad for him. Because, like, when he's trying to put his sword away in the previous episode, he's like, there's nothing there.
He's trying to put a kendo sword away, and he's just like, oh, there's no sheath.
There's nothing there. And so he pulls up the menu, and the very first thing he checks is the logout. And he's like, oh, thank God. Which is probably what everybody in the series was thinking, too, was, oh, thank God. And it's January 20th. The ceremony's in 6 days. So he's basically got this small window of opportunity. And as he's going through the menu, he realizes that all his stats and all his items and basically everything from Sword Art Online has converted over to this new game because he's using the same headgear. And
it's a skill-based game, not a level-based game.
Exactly, which... How convenient for our hero.
We basically have to put all of these little building blocks in place in order for him to conceivably succeed against these odds and in that time limit.
Right.
Exactly. But as he's going through, he notices that his dual wielding it just comes up as kind of an error message. And all of his items come up as a question mark. And that's when he starts to panic. He's like, oh, no. Because there's one item in particular that he genuinely cares about. He's genuinely afraid of losing. And it happens to still work. And he pulls it up. And Yui comes back. Yay!
And the episode is 1,000% better.
And watching this one, it felt so good to see a familiar face like Agil and for Yui to come back. And I feel actually really bad for not knowing about this because we had Stephanie Shea on a couple weeks ago. And she does the voice of Yui. Uh-huh. And I actually said while she was here, I was like, I wish Yui was in this series more. Ask and you shall receive. So I'm legitimately happy about that.
We're finding positive things now.
Yes.
We're trying, guys. We're trying.
We do. We try our best. But so we have Yui, and they get reunited, and it actually is this really touching scene. Tari, how did you feel?
I loved it. Like, from the moment that she was like, Daddy! I almost burst into tears. My first time around. Not this time.
Because you're a man.
More manly. Because I loved her character, even though it was kind of weird, the whole, like, playing house thing. Like, she was really adorable, and I like that she gets to continue on. I also kept yelling, Hey! Listen! She's a nav sprite.
Yeah,
I'm
she
so
is.
Glad I'm not the only one.
No, I think that's what everyone was thinking, actually, was just that she's a fairy now, and it's adorable. And actually, yeah, she is recognized by this new system as a player support program. So she's lost all her admin privileges, but she's still able to help out, and she's still able to tell him about the game, which, again, how convenient for our hero.
And she's less likely to be completely destroyed by the game itself.
Yes, she's not going to get destroyed. Destroyed this, hopefully.
Oh, no. Yeah.
What have I done?
No. Yeah, thank you, Megan. Yeah. No spoilers in the comments. I know you guys are really good at not spoiling us, but I still feel the need to say it. Because the one time I don't say it, there's going to be one of you.
Exactly. That would be just our luck,
that
wouldn't it?
That noob is going to show up and be like, actually.
All right, before we continue on with the episode, I want to talk to you guys really quick about iTunes. If you guys like what we do here at AfterBuzz talking about anime shows or just your favorite shows in general, we put out a lot of content every week. If you like what we do here, go to iTunes, slap us with a 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know what you think. If you like what we do, or if you don't like what we do, tell us how we can improve, how we can make it better for you. Anyway, and we love the comments on YouTube as well. We read them. We respond to them. We have a great time talking to the people who watch our show. So thank you guys so much for your support.
AfterBuzz YouTube commenters are awesome.
Yeah.
You guys just really are.
Yeah, so thank you very much for your support. Anybody want to throw anything else in there while I'm talking?
Hey, keep on chatting.
Smooth. Yes. You had that planned.
Thank you.
Standing ovation.
Well done, everybody.
Oh, you had that planned.
So let's get back to the episode. So now that Yui is back, she's able to help kind of, and this is our tutorial episode for, in the same way that the very first episode of Sword Art Online was a tutorial for Sword Art Online, this is our tutorial episode for Alfheim Online. So we get tutorials on how Kirito is able to fly, and he takes to it really quickly again because he has help.
And then continually lands on his head, which is going to be
Are you keeping a running count for the amount of time?
I am.
Oh gosh, that's going to be a lot until he gets the hang of it.
Right.
But anyway, so as he's flying around, notices that there are a couple other players flying around as well. And that's when we're introduced to Leafa and Recon, I believe is how they... I kept thinking it was Recon, but it's Recon, I think.
Recon, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the missing Stark child went.
Oh, Rickonstar. Rickonstar. Okay. That took a minute. I was like, Rickonstar?
Exactly.
Which Stark? Sansa? Yeah. We got all the important ones, right?
Yeah. Right. We found Rickon. Anyway.
Game of Thrones jokes aside.
Part two.
They're being chased by what looks like, I don't know the name of this particular fairy race. But let's face it, they look like the Einkrad Liberation Army with a new coat of paint.
Yeah.
Because they're... And I guess there are no orphans for them to shake down, so they're chasing these two. Seriously, what was up with that?
We don't know these two characters' parentage. They could be orphans.
That's true.
That's helpful?
That makes the other guys better?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, and we should probably mention that this is a game that actually encourages player killing for reasons?
Because it's not
caught me by surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thrown off by that. So, oh, wait a minute. No, these are player characters.
What?
Okay.
It's built on a PvP server, I guess. And it's not permadeath, so yay!
Right.
I guess that's the case. No, but again, if this is something that came out during the SAO incident...
You can kill people and you won't die!
Yay! Why would that be a selling point? Because that just seems like incredibly, like, a faux pas thing to do.
You know what I want? I want Laughing Coffin in this game.
That would be great!
I want Laughing Coffin to show up again in this game. I miss them.
It was a playing killing.
They were a murder guild.
It was a guild that straight up murdered people. Like, you could hire them to kill people. And this was in SAO, so it was permanent death.
they were
interesting. I miss them. They scared the hell out of me, but I miss them.
They wouldn't have as much fun because the person would just respawn. Or
you camp the spawn points. I don't even play MMOs. And I know how this goes down.
But she knows all the ways
you camp
to be
the
terrible.
Spawn points, and you're just, yeah. But they also said that physical ability, real-life physical ability, translates into this game. So if you're a 10-year-old girl playing, the 30-year-old bodybuilder is going to have a bit of a combat advantage.
Yeah.
It's kind of not fair.
You're trying to escape this.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the games I play don't actually rely on my physical ability.
Yeah, we play too much Super Smash Brothers for that.
I'd get about, like, 10 seconds in before I'm like, okay, guys, go on without me.
How far away is the next door?
This character just keeps watching TV. I don't understand.
Let's just take a Cheetos and Mountain Dew break and come back in an hour.
I feel like nothing would actually get accomplished in the gaming world if that's how it works.
Of course not. Of course not.
But we don't quite know exactly what the skirmish is, but we see obviously that they're trying to attack these two characters, and so we see them defending themselves. And we have Leafa, who is really adept at fighting. She takes to the air. And that, I will say that as unsettling as episode 15 was, if this part of the series focuses more on combats like this, it actually does look fun. You know, there are people flying through the air with swords, and again, there's no magic, but, is there magic?
There is magic in this game?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you have magic and swords and them flying through the air, and it does look really cool to see them fight. But the long and the short of this battle is that Rekkon gets killed in the skirmish, and that Leafa, she gets knocked down to the ground, and there are three of them ganging up on her, but she's prepared to go down fighting. Which again, the stakes are a lot less high now that death isn't actually permanent.
Right. Yeah.
But again, we're in a game. And that's when Kirito shows up, and he does remark that, you know, three against one isn't really a fair fight. Do you mind if I step in? And she's like, okay, sure, random guy.
And this is where Mr. Combat Addict goes, yes.
And sure enough, he, you know, he does what he does best.
And murders people. Wait.
we see that he's just in his own. He's right at home again in this game. It hasn't taken long for him to pick up on it. And that's where the episode ends, is him joining the fight. And so I gotta say, again, looking at these two episodes back to back, as unsettling as episode 15 was, 16 was so much better, and I feel like I felt good walking away from episode 16, as opposed to when I walked away from episode 15 and I'm like, dear God, where's the liquor cabinet?
Pretty much. Walked away from 15, made myself a stiff drink. Sat down and watched something animated and happy. Yeah. Like, we need a chaser for this one. This is not going to... No.
How about you, Tari? How did you feel after these two?
I felt really good. Like, I mean, I know where they're going. And so this refresher is kind of like, oh, man, there are so many things that I didn't even realize that you will understand at some point. But it was good. Like, I think you and I, Megan, had a conversation about the second half in that, like, through all the weirdness, like, the fight scenes get, like, 10 times better, which is something, considering the really
Yeah, they great... were already really good to begin with.
Yeah.
That was something really good. But the main thing I'm frustrated with is that Asuna has beat, and I know we've beat this into the ground, but...
The horse is glue at this point. Yeah. And we're still going.
It's been dead for quite some time, but the main thing that really troubles me is that Asuna went from somebody who stood by Kirito's side fighting with him to being something for him to chase.
Yeah.
And I'm not happy about that. And I'm not going to be happy with that, but that's where we are this season. So, unfortunately, I just have to live with it until we get to Gun Gale Online.
They literally put her in a cage in a tree out of everyone else's reach. You can't get more blatant than that.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating.
When I had first seen the episode, if this gives you any solace not knowing anything that happens going forward, I had assumed that it was a like an NPC created for the players to kind of fight to get to, because it was like
that it wasn't actually her.
Yeah, like this, because she was a prominent character in the last game, so it's like, oh my gosh, you get to rescue the super awesome Asuna the Flash from Sword Art Online. Go and do it and get to the top of the castle, guys.
Yeah,
does
no,
that
that's
mean
not
we
making...
have Kirito in a tree?
Could be. I mean, maybe he's an NPC that, like, helps you along. You're like, oh my gosh, I met the Kirito NPC. He's going to win this battle.
Yeah, no, I'm not feeling any better. I appreciate your effort, but nope, I got nothing.
Gold star, you
tried. Anyway, now that we've talked about these two episodes, I would like to spend the rest of our time talking about... Mr. Kirk Thornton over here. Thank you so much
now
for coming.
Now the scary part. See, I was enjoying this up till now.
Like now, everyone else, you were enjoying watching us freak out.
Well,
no, it's astounding to watch. Oh my God, the detail is just incredible.
Yeah, it's really funny because it's something that you work on and you don't think that people are going to like dissect it and like analyze the different pieces and everything like that. For you guys, it's just like, oh yeah, this was something I worked on that one time.
Mm-hmm. I go in the studio, I work for a little while and I walk out. And I don't get the detail of the storyline like this.
And all us nerds are like, well, let's look at it with a microscope. And pick out every little thing that's wrong.
But this could lead into this. And then in this episode, he said this line and that ties into here. And there is a conjecture that's...
So basically, nerds!
Tumblr!
No, it's the magic. It's like, it's what gives it life, you know?
It's true. I mean, these series wouldn't be any fun if there weren't fans, right?
Yeah, if there weren't fans, if there wasn't detail to care about and to love and to hate and all that.
Exactly. So how did you get involved with Sword Art Online? What was the audition process like?
Oh. I don't even remember the audition process. They may...
So yesterday, OMG.
I really don't remember. They may have just cast me.
That's cool.
Oh, nice.
That's right. Always the best audition. Yeah. I hate auditioning.
It's no
why
fun.
Do I have to
there's
prove
so
myself?
There's so much pressure.
There is, and there's a chance that somebody else is going to do better than me.
Exactly.
There's always that sitting over your head. But, no, I don't. No, I actually, for a role that size, usually you do audition. So I probably did audition. I don't remember the audition. They just, you know, I'm sure Mami Okada, the casting director, probably just, as usual with a role like this, she just said,
sound younger.
And that's usually, okay. And she's great, the casting director. She walks you through it. She knows the show and is good enough to say, okay, yeah, I know how to get the best out of you. Just follow my direction, follow my lead, and trust me. And you go, okay.
And it worked out well. Your performance as Klein was one of the most endearing things about this show.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, yeah, I mean, it was so much fun. It's not usual that, anymore that I get to play characters that young. It's a challenge, and I love it.
Yeah, we love Klein, too. It was a lot of fun. When you decided you wanted to be an actor, when was that, like, eureka, aha moment? Like, this is what I want to do.
Home movies. Sitting and watching a home movie, a little black and white 8mm home movie of me performing. I went for the camera. Even at, I was probably, 3, 4, or 5 years old. And I just dove at the camera and I wanted to be in front of the camera and all that. And just sitting and watching, playing back, going, oh. Yeah, I'm kind of funny. I could, and then, anyone who would see the movies would go, oh, he's going to be an actor. Yeah, he's going to be. And so it's always been in my blood. I've always wanted to do it. I mean, I wanted to be a fireman and an astronaut and all those things and a scientist. But I always had a feeling I knew I was going to be an actor. Even though, in acting school, I went up to Canada to go to an acting school up in Banff, and you had to audition to get in, and it was my first real eye opener that, oh wow, there's really something to this. These people are really good. They've got some talent.
You can't just go in front of a camera and wing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I came out, and my mom wasn't gonna give me the letter. After that, I was in college. I was after like my first, second year of college. I went up and went to this acting school. And it was after the summer I came home and I went up and auditioned for another acting school in Seattle. And which, there were 500 applicants and they took 15. And I got it. And in the first show I was doing up there in Seattle, my mom had this letter, and she said, I wasn't going to give this to you, but I think you can handle it now. And it was the acting coach, my acting teacher in Canada, saying, get out of the business.
Oh.
You're never going to make it. You suck. Oh. Get out of the business.
Oh. Wow.
So just know there's always hope. No matter how much people kick you around and say you're horrible, you stink, you're never going to make it. If you want it, you can get it.
Oh, man. Yeah. That guy's a terrible teacher.
No, he was an excellent teacher. He was very good, and he was dead on. I mean, I stunk. I was all, you know, going up there, I thought I was this big hotshot actor, and then I saw what acting really was. I went, oh, there's really something to this. You know, it really takes more than just wanting to show off.
Okay. I take back what I said. Yes, he is competent at his job.
And
maybe.
I've always been one of those actors. There's not many of us out there who love it when directors kick me. No, they tell me, I had a director say, yeah, Kirk, I don't want the summer stock read. The summer stock is cheap acting. And they were dead on. And I was like, I was giving them cheap, you know, broad, you know, big acting. And I love it. I love when they slap me down, because then I come fighting back. Which I know, I'll show you.
That's true. It's nice to have somebody who can push you to do stuff that you didn't even know that you were capable of.
But, you know, a lot of actors are very sensitive, and you really can't do that with them. You have to know every actor is different. The acting coach I had in Seattle, I was in the dressing room once, and he was talking to an actress, and he was saying, I would never hit anyone when they were down. And I said, what are you talking about? I heard this. I said, you knock me down all the time. I said, I was doing a Shakespeare monologue once, and he pounded on his desk and said, Thornton, I hate you worse than anyone else in the world. And I went, I said, how can you say you said that? You said you hated me worse than he says, Thornton, you're never down. You're never down. I can't knock you down.
Nice.
Stupid stubbornness. I'm dumb and stubborn.
And you're here.
And motivated, you
know. Yeah.
Well, that's good that he knew what approaches worked and what approaches didn't.
Yeah.
And one thing we ask all the guests that we come on here, and we know it's like picking children, but out of all the stuff that you've done, do you have a favorite? Or is there anything that you would like to take another crack at? Anything that you walked away from going, that was awesome, I want more of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love more of Gene in Samurai Champloo.
That would be great.
Yes, I would like that as well.
How many episodes? There weren't
that.
Is there
anyone who doesn't want that? 26.
Yeah, it was so, I mean, I look at Naruto and I go, well, how come?
Because shampoo is quality.
Yeah. Oh, Lynn's fighting words.
It really was. I mean,
she went there.
I live there.
You really couldn't go, I mean, too many, but we could have gone a few more. It was just so much fun. The cast was so wonderful. The scripts were so great. The stories were incredible. Everything about that show was fun. Except, you know, I never felt like I was doing anything in that show. Because I just, yeah. and the fan response, oh, it's so good. I'm not doing anything. And that's what you have to do sometimes in acting. You have to do nothing. It's very difficult for me. Doing nothing is the hardest thing.
So somebody like Klein is a little bit more, even though he's younger, is a little bit more at home because he's always yelling and screaming.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the different levels. He's got, you know, he changes it up. He's, you know, he acts the hard ass and the cool guy, or putting on the cool guy who's, you know, really insecure, but he's trying to play this. And then
then
he'll break down the wall and show the real him. So that's what's fun about him. I'm pretending to be the big fighter and then going, yeah, well, I'm really not that good. But, I try. Yeah. And he's very honest about it in a lot of ways.
That's true. And we love him for it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
We are running short on time. Do you guys have more questions?
I think you asked what I wanted to ask.
Oh, what
the favorite roles?
Oh,
thing.
Sorry.
No,
no, that's
and the other
that's
to juxtapose
good.
That would be to juxtapose Gene would be Don Patch in Bobobo. Bobobo. Which was, I guess, not a great show. I will admit, not a great show. But we had just ridiculous amounts of fun recording it.
Well, yeah, it's Bobobo. There are
it's
no
insanity.
Words for this. Someone got drunk and pitched a show, and then Bobobo happened.
Yeah, and you know, so with that, you know, I got to play in drag. I got to do Elvis impersonations. I got, you know, after the first volume, somebody said, "So, what's your voice in Bobobo?" And I went, I don't know.
Depends on the day.
All yeah. of them,
because he just hit this huge range and. And the director was way into playing. You know, he'd say, you know, we'd be doing something, and he'd go, oh, Kirk, try this. And I'd go, oh, yeah. And then how about if I do this? And he'd go, yeah. And then do this. And we'd just start going back and forth. And so it turned into a big playground. You know, whether it turned out entertaining or not, it certainly was for us.
I think I would like some of the behind-the-scenes footage for that scene.
I know.
Oh, gosh.
And the blooper reels.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Well, are there any directors that you haven't had the chance to work with that you're like, oh, I would love to work with this person?
You know, in the anime world, I don't think so. Except I've never worked down in Texas, so I haven't worked with all those great guys. And I don't... Wow! Take it easy! Jeez, can't take me anywhere. And I don't know enough about them. But yeah, I'd be interested to work with some of them.
You're so frustrated. You're like, I've never been to Texas!
Get me down there! Come on!
Well, I think that's just about all the time, unfortunately, that we have for today. Do you guys have any more questions for our awesome guest?
Best or worst blooper reel moment?
Best or worst blooper reel? It's got to be the stuff from Bobo. Yeah.
It sounds absolutely hilarious.
My problem with blooper reels is it's always profanity. I cuss like, oh, it's ridiculous. It's horrible.
Well, it sounds awesome. Where can the people find you if they want to find out more?
Find me?
Mm-hmm.
Social networks.
I am such a recluse. I really am. I mean, I'm on Facebook, but I don't take as many friends as I should. And like, sometimes I go a month without doing it. I am the worst promoter in the world. But, I mean, best way for people to get a hold of me is through my agency, which is Cunningham, CESD.
Do you have a website or a
Twitter? Or
I do have a website, but I don't even know. I'm horrible. Facebook is message me on Facebook. That's the best way to get in touch with me.
All right, awesome. All right. Do you have any upcoming projects you want to tell us about? Anything you want to promote? Apparently, you're the worst promoter in the world. But
I'm
there's
the
anything
worst.
You want to throw out there?
Horrible. Sonic Boom is going to be coming out.
Yes.
And it's,
so excited.
Oh God, the cast is incredible, and the scripts are just. They're just delicious. We get those scripts and we just drool over them every time we get into the studio. I work with Wally Wingert on that, and he's incredible. It's a little intimidating working on that show because, well, what it is, all these people are doing such great performances. It's like, okay, I guess I've got to suck it up now, and because I've got a certain level
to
reach.
You got to step it up.
And that's fun. You know, I've done a number of those kinds of things before. Like in theater, I've done star packages, and it's like so much fun because you're working with a star, and they're great, and you've got to step up onto the stage with them. So that's a blast. Sonic Boom is great. I was doing a thing. I think we just wrapped Peter Rabbit.
Fun.
Which was sweetest kid show. And it was great. My character, Jeremy Fisher, was just wonderful. Sings a lot horribly, which is so great because I'm not a great singer. Seems like every project I'm working on lately, I have to sing. And, really? You want me to... Here goes!
Well, sounds awesome. I can't wait to check out Sonic Boom. I'm a big Sonic fan.
Same here.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful.
Tari awesome. Miller, where can the people find you?
Oh, the people can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also find me on the Legend of Korra panel, the Extant panel, and that's it. Yep.
Katie.
Aren't you on Dominion, or did that end?
Done.
Oh, no more Dominion.
Hashtag Renew Dominion. Anyway,
yeah.
Yes, hashtag Renew Dominion. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Attack on Titan, Legend of Korra, and Ruby panels.
And you can follow Liz on Twitter at Lizzie Maui. That's L-I-Z-Z-M-A-W-Y. And you can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on the Attack on Titan and Ruby panels as well. Thank you guys so, so much
Hi,
for
girl,
tuning in.
I want to be like you guys.
You want a Twitter.
I want a Twitter.
Well, you can do that now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next time. See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.